Welcome to the Christ Victorious Sermon Series podcast. Join us as we become disciples who know Christ to make Christ known.
Seated. As they go back, we prepare to hear God's word. This is the last of our one-hit wonders, and we are in John's third letter to the churches called 3 John. Very creative. And again, it begins with John introducing himself. He is the elder, as then he goes through the rest of this letter to the churches. Here we go. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself, we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I don't want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. This here is a lantern, right? And there's something cool about a lantern, whether it's you're on a camping trip, even if it's one of the old gas-powered ones or kerosene ones, they're just kind of neat. They had an ambiance to things. But the thing about lanterns is that lanterns, they don't argue about the dark. They just shine like they're supposed to. And that's exactly what John begins with, not with lanterns, but with the truth and the fact that the truth is just supposed to shine. The thing is about truth is that everyone today, it seems like they all have, or we all have, our own truth, right? We talk about how, well, that's your truth, but that's not my truth. Or the other phrase that I love, like chalkboards and fingernails, is you do you. It seems like today, truth is just like ordering coffee at Caribou. Everybody gets their own custom blend. And for some of them, coffee is barely a teaspoon in that drink with all the froth and ice and everything else. But for John, truth is not an idea that you invent or something that you just simply know. Truth is actually someone that you follow. See, Jesus said in John's biography of Jesus, where he was watching and listening to him, he quotes Jesus saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. Not, I know the truth or I teach the truth, but I am the truth. And the focus in John's letter to the church, this third letter, is this teeny tiny thing, this question, of what is walking in the truth look like? What is walking in the truth, what does it actually look like for you and for me? And John actually answers that question by introducing us to three different people, to Gaius and Diotrephes and Demetrius. Three men and one simple question. What does it look like to be walking in the truth? What does it actually look like? Because John's whole point is that the truth, that it doesn't just sit on your lips, but it shows forth, it shows up in our lives. So let's see how John unfolds this, okay? The first person that we're introduced to is Gaius. And Gaius, he's not famous. He's not an apostle. He didn't write books. He didn't go to conferences and teach things, breakout sessions or plenaries or anything like that. He's just faithful. In verses 3 and 4 of our reading, it says, "It gave me great joy." This is John. "It gave me great joy, Gaius, when some believers, when they came back and they testified about your faithfulness to the truth and telling how you continue in the truth." Did you catch that? John doesn't say that Gaius knew the truth or explain the truth, but he says he's walking in the truth. And this is one of John's favorite pictures. If it's in his gospel readings or if it's in any of the letters or even in Revelation, John likes this idea of truth and walking. And truth isn't something that you just slam on the bookshelf or sits on the coffee table at your home or in the pew rack at church. But truth, it walks into your living room. It walks into your kitchen. It sits at the dining room table with you. See, for Gaius, walking in the truth, it looked shockingly ordinary. Just everyday life. When the missionaries showed up at his door, he welcomed them. He fed them. He gave them a place to sleep. He probably even packed them a lunch for the next day as they go out. And John encourages him. And in a way, he encourages you and I in verse 6, please send them on their way in a manner honoring God, it says in verse 6. It doesn't say in a way that, well, do enough, or in a way, well, give them whatever you can, or help them however you can. He says in a manner that's honoring God. Why? Because these brothers and sisters, they had gone out. They had gone out for this. It says in verse 7, for the sake of the name. The other time this shows up is in the book of Acts, where the church is just beginning. It's called the way, and it's called in the sake of the name. See, these missionaries that are going out, they're not going out for a paycheck. They're not going out for applause. They're not going out to make a big old name for themselves or get all the likes they can on Instagram or anything else. They're out there for Jesus. And so by opening his own home, Gaius, he becomes, it says, a fellow worker in the truth. Think about that. Gaius never preached. He never planted a sermon. He simply just opened up his home, his life, and John says it made him a fellow worker of the truth. And I love that. See, sometimes we think that unless we're standing up here behind a pulpit or we're flying halfway across the world, that we're not really doing ministry. But John is saying, no, 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 no. You, everybody sitting here, you are all workers of the truth. When you make a meal, whether it's for a guest or for your family, when you encourage someone, when you pray for others, when you give, when you welcome a stranger, when you support Christ's mission. And that's incredibly freeing. See, most of the work of Christ's kingdom, it happens in wonderfully ordinary ways. See, the truth doesn't just sit on our lips, but it shows up in our lives in many and various ways. The next person that John introduces us to is Diotrephes. And Diotrephes is there and then he's gone right away. And everybody knows a Diotrephes, right? I mean, he's not that hard to recognize. John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, he didn't welcome us. That's the whole problem. All in one little phrase, one little sentence. He loves to be first. And John uses this one little word to say all of that. It's phileo proteion. And this little word, it literally means one who loves to be first. And that pretty much tells you everything about Diotrephes. That he has to win, that he has to control the room and the conversation, that he has to have the last word. And then he refuses. He refuses to welcome the brothers. He spreads malicious lies and nonsense. He throws other brothers and sisters in Christ who are faithful out of the church. Because somewhere along the way, the church became for Diotrephes his own kingdom. But before we're too hard on him, we also need to slow down and recognize some things about you and me. See, there's a little Diotrephes in each and every one of us. We like to be noticed. We like to be appreciated. We like to get a little bit of credit. Dare I raise your hand? How many of you like to have the last word? We appreciate those things. We enjoy being needed, right? And our sinful nature can take Christ's mission and quickly turn it into our very own. Even while we're serving Jesus, our sinful nature has this amazing knack to make his mission about our mission. Verse 11, John says this. He says, don't imitate, but rather imitate what is good. My microphone just fell down and out of my pocket. I guess it's too much movement. Again, all of us have this sinful nature that turns Christ's mission into our own little mission. And John, again, he says in verse 11, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. In other words, why? Because the truth doesn't just sit on our lips, but it shows up in our lives. Just as quickly as Diotrephes shows up, then Demetrius shows up. He's there and then he's gone. We meet him and he says in verse 12, it says, Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. His words and his life, his reputation, they all point the same direction, and that's to Jesus. And that's what walking in the truth looks like. It doesn't look like perfection. It looks like God-shaped integrity. It doesn't look like impressing people, but it looks like pointing people to Jesus. In a way, John is kind of holding up three mirrors with these three different guys about what faithfulness and faithfully following Jesus looks like, what pride looks like, and what a life quietly witnessing to Jesus looks like. Or maybe it's just two mirrors. But the question I ask you is, which mirror looks like you? Which mirror looks most like you? Maybe you're thinking, well, I've been Gaius before. I've served Christ. I've done all these things. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I've been Diotrephes more than a few times. And if I'm honest, I've been both. Both of those guys. I've opened my home, but I wanted to do it my way, right? I've served Christ, but I would like a little bit of the credit as well. That's why this little letter doesn't just ask, which one are you, but instead, who's changing you? See, the good news is that Jesus doesn't simply tell us to walk in the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he is in you. His spirit was given to you in your baptism. You are baptized into Christ. And think about how different Diotrephes is compared to Jesus. Diotrephes, he loved being first, but Jesus, even though he was the first among all creation, Philippians 2 says, he did not consider himself equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Instead, he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and became obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. See, Diotrephes, he slammed the door into everybody's face, but Jesus, he opened his arms to sinners, and he opened his Father's house to you and to me. The greatest act of hospitality is not that the fact that Gaius opened up his house to some missionaries. It was that Christ opened up heaven to you and to me. See, when he bore our sin and carried our shame, when he died on the cross and rose again, he did all of that so that heaven would be wide open to you and to me and to all who believe in him, so that you and I could be called children of God. And that's why John can rejoice over Gaius, not because he earned God's love, but because God's love was already at work in him and changing Gaius. Did you notice as you read through the letter, or as I read through it for you, that John never tells Gaius to be somebody or something different. He simply encourages him to keep on being who he is in Christ, who Christ has already made him to be. He just says, keep walking, keep welcoming, keep shining. And that should be wonderfully freeing to you and to me. See, Christianity, it's not pretending to be something that you're not. It's becoming more and more who Christ has already declared you to be. See, you have been welcomed and you have been forgiven and claimed in the waters of baptism. You have been welcomed and forgiven and fed at his table. And you will be again today. And the Holy Spirit is already at work in you, already at work around you, and because of those things, through you, to open up the gates of heaven to everybody else around you. So keep walking in the truth that he's already working in you. Not to earn God's love, but because you already have God's love. Remember, the gospel, it changes people. It changes them not from the outside in, but rather from the inside out. Which brings me back to this lantern. A lantern never argues about the dark that's around it. It doesn't scream. It doesn't complain about the darkness. It doesn't demand attention. It just shines. Because that's all it knows how to do, is just shine. And John isn't asking you and me or his original readers to be louder. He's asking us to be faithful Christians. Christians who quietly walk in the truth and let the light of Christ that's already within them to shine out. See, when Christ is at the center, the truth becomes visible in a way that we treat other people around us, the way that we welcome them, the way that we point them, not to ourselves, but back to the cross and to Jesus. The question that John 3 leaves us with isn't, do you know the truth? The question that this epistle leads us to and points us to is, has the truth, has Jesus himself become visible in a way that you treat other people around you? Because he's already changed you. He's already declared you something new and beautiful, a light to the nations. So shine. And remember, But lanterns don't shout, they don't demand attention. They simply shine because that's all they know how and what to do. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. I invite you to stand as we confess our common faith in the light of the world using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.